2 Kings chapter 18. We'll start reading in verse 28 down through verse 37. 2 Kings chapter 18. Looking at another portrait tonight. Ephesians chapter 6 tells us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, right? But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We're in a battle. And our passage is about a battle, but it's not, you would kind of expect, if I said we're talking about a battle in the book of Kings, you go, all right, we got swords and spears and shields and bows and all of those things. But it's not one of those battles. It's a mental battle. It's a psychological battle. It's a spiritual battle. And it's a battle to keep trusting the Lord, even in the face of opposition. So we're going to look at a portrait of the opposition this evening. 2 Kings chapter 18, verse 28. So we're going to look at, our focus is going to be on the opposition, not on Hezekiah and Israel's faith. So if we read in 2 Kings chapter 18 and verse 28, it says, "Then Rabshakeh stood and cried with a loud voice in the Jews' language and spake, saying, Hear the word of the great king, the king of Assyria. Thus saith the king, Let not Hezekiah deceive you, for he shall not be able to deliver you out of his hand. Neither let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying, The Lord will surely deliver us, and this city shall not be delivered into the hand of the king of Assyria. Hearken not to Hezekiah, for thus saith the king of Assyria, Make an agreement with me by a present, and come out to me. And then eat ye every man of his own vine, and every one of his fig tree, and drink ye every one of the waters of his cistern, until I come and take you away to a land like your own land, a land of corn and wine, and a land of bread and vineyards, a land of olive oil and of honey, that ye may live and not die, and hearken not unto Hezekiah when he persuadeth you, saying, The Lord will deliver us. Hath any of the gods of the nations delivered at all his land out of the hand of the king of Assyria? Where are the gods of Hamath and of Arpad? Where are the gods of Sepharvaim, Hena and Iva? Have they delivered Samaria out of mine hand? Who are they among all the gods of the countries that have delivered their country out of mine hand, that the Lord should deliver Jerusalem out of mine hand? But the people held their peace and answered him not a word, for the king's commandment was, saying, Answer him not. Then came Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, which was over the household, and Shebna the scribe, and Joah the son of Asaph, the recorder, to Hezekiah with their clothes rent, and told him the words of Rabshakeh." Let's have a word of prayer as we begin. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we ask now as we begin for your blessing upon this service and upon the preaching of your word. We pray that you'd show us exactly what we need this evening. Encourage us, challenge us, and may you be glorified. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I remember when I was little, we had a phrase that we would say that I don't hear it used anymore. It was, say uncle. You guys remember saying that? Yeah? I don't know if the kids say that anymore. But we would use that phrase, and it was, we'd use it when we were wrestling or like arm wrestling or doing the like handshaking, and you're really squeezing as hard as you can, trying to break their fingers. And you would do something like that, and then you go, say uncle. And it meant like give up, right? Quit, surrender. I don't hear the kids say that anymore, but we would have these little competitions, and the goal was to make the other person give up, to make them give in, make them quit. That was the goal. Now, some people enjoy a good competition, right? And they want to see, like in sports, they want to see an like evenly matched where the two teams battle it out to the end. They don't want to see one team give up partway through, right? They don't want to see a blowout where you can tell at halftime the other team's given up. They put their subs in, they're way down, there's no coming back, so they just give up halfway through. Right? We want to see like a good competition, a good battle. We want to see the two teams battle all the way to the end. But you know, that's not what Satan wants, as he fights us. Satan is our opposition. Satan doesn't want to fight you and me. He wants us to just give in. He doesn't want a long, protracted battle where we keep struggling to trust the Lord. No, he wants us to just quit. He wants to do everything he can to get us to just give in and give up before we even start to fight. You know, I read Proverbs 24 and verse 16. I think we're familiar with this. A just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. Right? And we take that verse and go, that's what we want, right? Where we fall down and we get back up again. But I think the second part of that verse is really what Satan wants, which is the wicked shall fall into mischief. I think that's what he wants. He doesn't want to mess with Christians. They keep getting back up again. They keep fighting him every single time. You know, that's not what he wants for us. I mean, he's happy that we fall, but I don't think he's happy when we get back up again. You know what he wants? He wants us to fall and just stay down. just to quit, just give up, right? And not fight, not try, not seek forgiveness and ask the Lord's help for the next time. He just wants us to entirely give up. And so as Satan attacks us, he'll say whatever he needs to say just to get us to quit. You know, it was in World War II that as we were in the Pacific Theater fighting the Japanese, that they would send out English broadcasts over their Japanese radio stations. And they would play American songs to get the American soldiers to listen to these radio stations. But then they would put in these like briefings or these messages. And the whole intention of these was just to demoralize the American troops. And so they would have, in between these songs, they would have messages about how many American soldiers had died that day or that month. They would talk about how America was losing the war. They would have messages about how the American commanders and the higher-ups didn't care about their soldiers. They're happy to just send them off to their death. And they would put in there these messages that just were trying to really break down the American soldiers, just to get them to throw down their guns and walk away, right? Just get them to leave, trying to break them down so that they would stop fighting. And this is what Satan wants us to do. And so he tries to get us to listen to several lies that have this effect, that are just out there. They're not true, but he tells us these and he gets us to listen to these so we'll give up. So we'll stop fighting. So we'll stop trying to get back up again. So we'll stop trying to trust God. And I think we see some of these in action in 2 Kings chapter 18 from this man, Rabshakeh. And here's the context. If we go back to the beginning of 2 Kings chapter 18, we have Hezekiah, who's now the king over the southern kingdom of Judah. And if we start reading in verse 1, let's read a couple of verses. It says, "Now it came to pass in the third year of Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Israel," that's the northern kingdom, "that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. 25 years old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Abi, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father did. He removed the high places and brake the images and cut down the groves and brake in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For unto those days, the children of Israel did burn incense to it, and he called it Nehushtan." So he's a godly king. He's doing all the right things. He is taking care of like all the idols and the false ways they would even worship Jehovah in those days. All of these things, getting rid of all of that. And then verse 5 says, "He trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him." He was a man of faith. He trusted in God. And verse 6 says, "God blessed him and he prospered." Then in verse 7 and 8, he rebels against the Assyrian Empire. They were the power at that time, and Israel was paying tribute to them. So he stops all of that. He says, we don't need to do that anymore. He breaks ties with the Assyrian Empire. But then in verse 9, the Assyrians come back. They come back to put down this rebellion. They're like, we have one of our little countries over there that is no longer paying tribute to us. We're going to go take care of that. So here come the Assyrians, and they, verse 9 down through verse 13, they besiege them. And then in verse 13, it says, "Now in the 14th year of King Hezekiah did Sennacherib, king of Assyria, come up against all the fenced cities of Judah and took them." He marches through the northern kingdom and he comes now into the southern kingdom. So Hezekiah, in several verses after this, he pays the tribute that he's supposed to pay, and he takes even gold from the temple, the doors of the temple, from the pillars. He takes gold from that and pays off Sennacherib and the Assyrians, but they don't leave. And in verse 17, they just stay there besieging Jerusalem, and they're like, well, that's not all we want. We want to just destroy you. We're gonna fight you. So Sennacherib then sends one of his leaders, Rabshakeh, to Jerusalem with this message. And he goes and he proclaims to them that they're still going to fight him, they're still going to destroy him, and that basically there's nothing they can do about that. And all of a sudden, here is Hezekiah, a man of faith. He trusts God. That's what the Bible tells us. He's a godly man. He's reinstituted worship of Jehovah as it should be. He trusts God. Now he's faced with opposition. Now he's faced with an opposition to his faith. And I want to look at a portrait of opposition, Because Rabshakeh makes some statements to Hezekiah and the people of God to get them to stop trusting in God, to stop believing that God's going to deliver them, to stop fighting, to just give in. He's trying to demoralize them to the point where they just won't trust in God anymore and will just give in to everything that Sennacherib and the Assyrians want. And so here's what Rabshakeh told him. And here, I believe, are the same things Satan tries to tell us to get us to accept and really just get us to give in, to stop trusting. Here's the first one. If we look in verse 29 and 30, Satan's going to tell us it's impossible. That what we're trusting in God to do, it's plain old impossible. Verse 29, thus saith the king, thus saith Sennacherib, let not Hezekiah deceive you, for he shall not be able to deliver you out of his hand. Neither let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying, the Lord will surely deliver us. And this city shall not be delivered into the hand of the king of Assyria. He said, it's impossible. What you're trusting God to do is never going to happen. It's just not going to happen. So if something's impossible, why even try? You know, in sports broadcasts nowadays, they have the most amazing statistics that they'll throw out there. It's like the deepest things. And you know, like they have so many stats for everything. But you'll be listening to a game and they'll be like, well, the last team to reach 30 points while wearing yellow on a day that had humidity over 80%. That was back in 1992. And you're like, how do we know this? Why are we keeping these statistics? But you know, some of those statistics, I'm like, they probably shouldn't tell the players these because they would be very, very demoralizing halfway through the game, right? And they'll say something like, no team has ever come back from this much of a deficit. You're like, well, what are we doing then? Let's just put the scrubs in and go home, right? And they're like, you know, no team has ever made up this much of a difference in this scenario, in this situation. And they're basically saying, yeah, there's no hope. You turn the TV off, you just go home, they're going to lose, right? And if you look down in verse 33, because it's like Rabshakeh gives them some statistics and says, listen, hasn't happened in the past. It's not going to happen now. Verse 33, he goes, hath any of the gods of the nations delivered at all his lands out of the hand of the king of Assyria? He goes, it hasn't happened yet. Verse 34, where are the gods of Hamath and of Arpad? Where are the gods of Sepharvaim, Hena, and Iva? Have they delivered Samaria out of my hand? He goes, it hasn't happened, right? It's impossible. Here's the statistics. We have marched through this land, this land, this land. We have fought against this god, this god, this god, and none of them have delivered their people out of their hand. And he goes, you're just one more in that long list, and it's not going to happen. He says, you need to stop trusting in God because it's impossible what you're asking God to do. But we know what the Bible says, right? The Bible says with God, all things are possible. The things that are impossible with men are possible with God. Jeremiah 32 and verse 17. Jeremiah says, ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. The power of God makes every good thing a possibility. Everything, right? All the good things that we think God could do, they are possible with God. Therefore, we have every reason to keep trusting in God. Because contrary to what the devil tries to tell us, things are possible. There are things that God can do. Now, I don't know if what you're asking or wanting God to do is the will of God. And that's a whole separate matter. God very well may say no, right? If someone is asking God for a raise at work, it may be that God's will is for them not to get a raise. If someone is looking for God to provide something, it may be that it's not the will of God to provide something. But until you know that, keep trusting, keep asking, keep depending upon God. Until you hear it from God's mouth and you see it, God work it out that it's not for you, keep trusting. It's Satan wants you to think it's impossible, so quit now. Stop trusting God now before you hear from God, whether it's his will or not. Satan just wants you to give in and quit early. Anytime we hear something telling us to stop trusting God, it's not the voice of the Holy Spirit. It's not the work of the Holy Spirit to tell you don't need to trust God or you can stop trusting God. That's always the work of Satan. That's always our flesh. Satan tries to tell us it's impossible. Don't even bother. Don't waste your time trusting God. It's not going to happen. Hasn't happened before, so don't bother trusting now. So Satan says, hey, it's impossible. Don't bother trusting. Here's the second lie that we're told. And again, in 2 Kings chapter 18, And verse 29, thus saith the king, let not Hezekiah deceive you. Verse 30, the first part, neither let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord. Look at verse 31. Hearken not to Hezekiah, for thus saith the king of Assyria. The second lie is this. Don't listen to the people who are going to tell you it is possible. Don't listen to the people that are telling you to trust in God because God can do anything. Don't listen to those people. And Rabshakeh, he tells the people of Jerusalem, don't let Hezekiah trick you into thinking victory is possible. Hezekiah trusts God. It's not going to work out. Don't listen to him. Don't listen to those voices that are telling you what God is able to do. I'm thankful for all the people we have here that are so encouraging. And the church family we have that just encourages one another to trust in God. That'll come alongside you when you're struggling and say, listen, here's what God can do. And I'm thankful for the people that constantly point us to Jesus and say, keep trusting. Keep depending upon God. Keep waiting on him. But Satan will try and tell you that, listen, they mean well, but they don't know what you're going through. They don't know everything. They don't know all the details. They don't know how bad your situation is. They mean well, and they're trying to, you know, be an encouragement to you and tell you to keep trusting God, but they don't know what they're talking about. They don't know how bad it really is. And Rabshakeh is like, listen, it's bad. Don't bother. Don't listen to Hezekiah. He's going to try and lie to you and tell you that things will be okay and just keep trusting God and keep following him. He goes, don't listen to him. And Satan will tell you, listen, your church family, they're just trying to be nice. They're just telling you the things that they think you should hear and the things they're supposed to say as Christians, but they don't really understand your situation. Don't listen to them. Don't listen to the people that are trying to encourage you. And, you know, Satan can try and tell us that, you know, it's like a mom at a JV basketball game and her kids on the team out there on the floor and they're down like 50 to 10, right? And there's 5 minutes left in the game. But that mom is like, you can do this, little Jimmy, you know, keep trying. We can win this game. And Jimmy's there going, we've scored 10 points in the entire game. And now you think we can score 40 in the last 5 minutes? Like, why? Sorry, mom, but it's just, I can't listen to you right now. Like, you don't know what you're talking about. There's no way we could win. And Satan's like, you know, that's what your fellow Christians are like. They don't know how bad it is. They don't know how hard you've tried and how nothing has happened. And they're telling you to keep trusting in the Lord. And Satan's like, don't listen to the people that are trying to encourage you. But listen, that's exactly what we need to do, is listen to the people around us that are saying, keep trusting in God. We need those people that are there to just continue to encourage us. Because if they are telling you how great God is, how powerful God is, that is exactly what we need to hear. That is the message that we need to hear consistently. And in those times where our faith starts to falter, we need Christians around us who will help hold up our arms and say, keep trusting God. Keep your faith in God. Here's what God is able to do. Here's what God has done in my life. That's what we need. But Satan will tell us, don't let them talk to you. Don't let them tell you. Don't listen to them. They don't know what they're talking about. But God brings these people across our path at the right time. Right when we need to hear those things, God brings them across our path. And it's exactly who we need to listen to. Do you remember back when Israel was on their way to the promised land, right? They're traveling through the wilderness. They send the spies into the land. And we got the spies that come back. And then we've got Joshua and Caleb telling Israel that, listen, we can do this. God is able. God is powerful enough to bring us into the promised land. Satan doesn't want you to listen to those people. Satan was very happy that Israel listened to the rest of the spies who are like, no, we can't do it. That's what Satan wants. He doesn't want us to listen to the Joshua and Calebs around us that are telling us, no, God can do this. Keep trusting God. Keep waiting on God. Satan wants us to stay discouraged, stay hopeless. He doesn't want any of those competing voices. They're telling us the truth. So Satan's going to tell us, don't listen to them. Don't listen to the other people that are encouraging you to trust in God. It's hopeless. But here's one more thing. Back in 2 Kings chapter 18, look, if we will, in verse 31 and 32. The last lie Satan tells us is, listen, if you give up, everything's going to be okay. If you give up, everything will be just fine. Verse 31. Hearken not to Hezekiah, for thus saith the king of Assyria. Here's his offer. Make an agreement with me, buy a present, and come out to me. And then eat ye every man of his own vine, and every one of his own fig tree, and drink ye every one the waters of his cistern, until I come and take you away to a land like your own land. A land of corn and wine, a land of bread and vineyards, a land of oil, olive, and of honey, that ye may live and not die And hearken not unto Hezekiah when he persuadeth you, saying, the Lord will deliver us. So Rabshakeh makes him an offer. And he says, if you stop resisting and you just give in, you leave the city and come out with a present to me. He goes, everything will be fine. You'll get everything you wanted, right? Just give up, give in. And what's interesting is he promises them in verse 32, a land like unto your own, right? If you just take action, you leave Hezekiah, right? You rebel against Hezekiah, the king who is trying to trust in the Lord. Just rebel against him, walk out of the city. Leave the city doors open, just come on out and you'll be at peace. Boy, you'll have all these things. I'll give you all of this stuff. You can have your own stuff. I'll take you to a land that's just like your own land. And you know what? That's what Satan says to us. He says, if you just stop trusting in God and kind of maybe take action, do your own thing, it won't be what God has for you, but it'll be just as good. It won't be the land God promised you, but it'll be a land just like your own land. It's got all the same stuff. You'll be just as happy in that land, the land I give you, as you would be in the land that God has promised you. Except that's not true. Giving up your faith in God, quitting on God and not trusting in him is never the right move. And it's never going to give us the blessing of God. Don't believe it when Satan says that his blessings are just as good as God's, that what Satan offers is just as good as the things that God gives to us. But I think we need to realize that the blessings of God aren't only given at the end of a patient faith, they're also given in the midst of patient faith, right? It's not just that, boy, once we power our way through by faith, that at the end, when everything is said and done and the whole situation is resolved, that's when I get the blessings of God. But it's as we trust God and as we patiently wait on God and depend upon him through that progress and through that process, that God blesses us all the way along. It's not just that we're blessed at the end, but we're blessed with the presence of God and the peace of God, knowing God, drawing closer to God in the process of patiently waiting on God. But sometimes we think the only blessings we get are when it's over, when the whole situation is done and resolved. That's when the blessings come. And that's what Satan tries to tell us, is that it's when it's over, and you can make it over right now if you just quit, that then you'll be blessed. But what we'll miss out on is, yes, the blessing that God has at the end, but also all the blessings at the in-between time. And having run a number of races, and especially like the shorter ones that are harder and more painful, your mind is constantly telling you to quit. And your mind tells you as you're running and trying to give your all, that if you just stop, you can walk, you could sit down, you could rest, you can get some water. You're like, you're going to get that at the end, but if you quit now, you can have it now. You get the same water whether you quit now or at the end. You get the rest whether you quit now or you finish, right? And your mind is telling you it's going to feel so nice when you just quit, when you stop, right? And there's this whole mental battle. But listen, there's rest if you stop and if you quit, and there's rest if you finish, but they're not the same. One is the rest of defeat. One is the rest of I gave up and I quit and I couldn't make it all the way to the end. The other rest is I finished. I gave it all and I made it across the finish line and now I get to rest. And those of us who have run races and done well, and those of us who have run races and struggled and walked in the middle, we can tell you it's a very different feeling. It's a very different feeling. And listen, this is what Satan wants. Satan looks at us and says, listen, if you quit now and give up and you just stop trusting in God and maybe take action and resolve things without waiting for God, it'll be done. And then it'll be resolved and it'll be perfect, right? Everything will be over. And he says, you can just have that now. If you just stop trusting God and take things into your own hands, if you just quit, you can have that right now. And he goes, it's the same thing, right? It's the situation's over and done with, but it's not. Right? One, you miss out with the blessings of God, of walking with God and trusting with God in difficulty, but you also miss out the blessings that God has for you. The blessings that Satan offers are not the same. Rabshakeh tried to tell him that. He said, if you give in and you quit, I'll give you a land just like your own land, be exactly the same. Except one's the land of captivity, isn't it? One's the land where you are not in your own control. You are a captive nation. And that's very different to you being your own nation under God, with God as your ruler. It's two different things. But Rabshakeh says, no, it's not. You just quit now and you can have exactly what you want, all that you're looking for. This is what Satan tries to tell us. Don't listen to the voice that's telling you quit and you can have everything you want. Quit and it'll be fine. Everything will be okay. It's telling you to stop trusting in God. There's all these lies that Satan tries to tell us to get us to give up, to get us to quit. Faith's not easy. Trusting God is not always an easy thing to do. At times, we'll hear these voices, and at times our heart will side with Satan. It says, listen, it's impossible. It's just not going to happen. I don't know why I'm trusting God for something that cannot happen. There's times where we hear a voice that says, listen, all the people around you that are trying to tell you to trust in God, they're crazy. They don't know what they're talking about. They don't know what you're going through. There's times you'll hear a voice that says, listen, just quit and everything will be better. Just be done with this. Stop this whole effort of trying to trust in God, of trying to maintain your faith in God. If you just quit now, everything will be okay. But we have to understand that faith isn't always easy, but it's always the right choice. It's always the right choice to just keep trusting in God. And I want to go to 2 Kings chapter 19. You want the end of the story? You're going to get it whether you like it or not. 2 Kings chapter 19. We can't leave it like that. So 2 Kings chapter 19. At the end of 2 Kings chapter 18, Rabshakeh said his thing to the people in Jerusalem. They've taken the word then to Hezekiah and said, all right, here's what they've said. 2 Kings chapter 19 and verse 1. We're going to read a longer passage down to verse 20. And it came to pass when King Hezekiah heard it, that he rent his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth and went into the house of the Lord. And he sent Eliakim, which was over the household, and Shebna the scribe and the elders of the priests covered with sackcloth to Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz. And they said unto him, thus saith Hezekiah, this day is a day of trouble and of rebuke and blasphemy, for the children are come to the birth and there is not strength to bring forth. It may be that the Lord thy God will hear all the words of Rabshakeh, whom the king of Assyria, his master, has sent to reproach the living God, and will reprove the words which the Lord thy God hath heard. Wherefore lift up thy prayer for the remnant that are left. So the servants of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah. And Isaiah said unto them, thus shall ye say to your master, thus saith the Lord, be not afraid of the words which thou hast heard, with which the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Behold, I will send a blast upon him, and he shall hear a rumor, and shall return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. So Rabshakeh returned and found the king of Assyria warring against Libna, for he had heard that he was departed from Lachish. And when he heard say of Tirhakath, king of Ethiopia, behold, he has come out to fight against thee, he sent messengers again unto Hezekiah, saying, thus shall ye speak to Hezekiah, king of Judah, saying, let not thy God in whom thou trustest deceive thee, saying, Jerusalem shall not be delivered into the hand of the king of Assyria. Behold, thou hast heard what the kings of Assyria have done to all lands by destroying them utterly, and shalt thou be delivered? Have the gods of the nations delivered them which my fathers have destroyed, as Gozan and Haran and Rezeph and the children of Eden which were in Thelassar? Where is the king of Hamath and the king of Arpad and the king of the city of Sepharvaim, of Hena and Iva? And Hezekiah received the letter of the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. The king said the same thing again. He's not letting Hezekiah off the hook. Hezekiah just takes it back to the Lord. Verse 15, Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, which dwellest between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone of all the kingdoms of the earth. Thou hast made heaven and earth. Lord, bow down thine ear and hear. Open, Lord, thine eyes and see and hear the words of Sennacherib, which have sent him to reproach the living God. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have destroyed the nations in their lands and have cast their gods into the fire, for they were no gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone, therefore they have destroyed them. Now, therefore, O Lord our God, I beseech thee, save thou us out of his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou only. Then Isaiah, the son of Amoz, sent to Hezekiah, saying, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, that which thou hast prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, I have heard. Look down in verse 32. Therefore, thus saith the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, verse 32, he shall not come into the city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with shield, nor cast a bank against it. By the way that he came, by the same shall he return, and shall not come into the city, saith the Lord. For I will defend this city to save it for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. And it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went and returned and dwelt at Nineveh. And it came to pass, as he was worshiping in the house of Nisroch his god, that Adrammelech and Sharezer his sons smote him with the sword and escaped into the land of Armenia, and Esarhaddon his son reigned in his stead. You know, everything that Rabshakeh said, it was proven to just be lies. Everything he told them. All the things that he said about how he was going to destroy Jerusalem and how if they trusted God, nothing was going to happen, how they shouldn't listen to Hezekiah, who's telling them to trust in the Lord. It was all proven to be a bunch of lies. Nothing ever came of that. All of it was just calculated to make them give up, to make them quit. Satan can't defeat God. Satan can't stop God. Satan is not powerful enough to stand in God's way. He knows that. You know what he wants? He wants us to just quit. Because he knows if we trust God, God will work. And God will do his will and God will bring things to pass as he desires. Satan says, you know what? I can't stop God, but maybe I can get them to quit. Maybe if I just tell them this, they'll stop trusting. Maybe if I tell them just how impossible things are, they'll just give up. Maybe they'll stop falling and getting back up again. Maybe I can get them to just lay down and stop. A portrait of opposition. Don't listen to the enemy. Don't listen to his voice. Listen to the voice of God. Listen to what the word of God says. God tells us how great he is and how that with God nothing shall be impossible, that if we just trust God, he'll take care of us. Those voices that we hear that are telling us to lay down and quit, to stop trusting God, stop depending on him, that's not the Holy Spirit of God. That's Satan. That's maybe our own heart. Trust God. Keep trusting. Don't give up. Don't give in. Don't quit. Don't lay down. Keep trusting God. With God, nothing shall be impossible. Let's close with prayer. Lord, I thank you for how great you are. Lord, that we have a God that is worthy of our faith and worthy of our trust. But Lord, faith isn't always easy. And maybe tonight there's someone here that's struggling with trusting in you in some way. And maybe they've been hearing these arguments that it's just not worth it to trust in God and just be easier if they took things into their own hands. Lord, help us to simply realize who you are and recognize where these voices come from. Help us to trust you. Help us to cling to our faith in you. Lord, we know how great you are. Help us to remember that. Remind us of that in the days to come as we need it. Help us to consistently and faithfully trust in you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.